Glory to God. I welcome everyone once again to this assembly, and indeed it's an assembly of encounters. Let me welcome those of us that are joining us today for the very first time. You were not here yesterday, and then you heard of the impact of yesterday, and then you joined in. And for those who were around yesterday and then still joined in today to have the balance of what God has in store, God bless you all. You are very much welcome. Today is very striking, very sensitive. I want you to pay attention. I want those of us who are already connected for our hearts and spirit to be here. You say, God gave the word. And then the word was published. The word that you are here comes with, that you are here, it comes with fire. If you pay attention and your heart is filled, flames of the spirit will just flow directly into your heart and set you ablaze forever. The word of God is spirit. Is life. It's not English first. It's first spirit. It's life. The English aspect is an arrangement of compilation so that your mind can receive it. Because there are still prophets that prophesy in Spanish and others teach the gospel in French. But nevertheless, it is still the same spirit and life that flows. So the first encounter and experience of the word of God is the life, the spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. That's what the word is. So if you are hearing today, this voice and this speech may come to you as English language, but encrypted in this delivery is a flow of spirit and life. The end of it is that it should sink into your heart and catch flames inside of you. So tonight you are face to face with an administration of God. Some of you, this may be the first time you have witnessed or experienced such an administration. You may not understand what I mean by that, but as we proceed, it will make sense to us. So, let your spirit and your heart be here. Like we began to say yesterday, what is the assembly? The assembly is a structure birthed out of heaven that is called seasonal. For sons of God to be called, and then agenda and mysteries of the kingdom unveiled, as well as the assignment of resources from heaven that will support the agenda. And so this meeting started well over 7 years ago. And from 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, there have always been assemblies. You are here in the first kind of its order, the assembly of structures. Today, it will be clear. Father, we give you praise. Yesterday, we began by talking about destiny and structure. Let's begin by stating this, that what God was saying yesterday and what the word is that we spread from the story of Noah, and we said Noah's life was linked to a structure called the ark. His purpose and destiny was that structure. When he was born, they took an oath on him and said, this one will give us rest. And that's the meaning of his name, Noach. It's the Hebrew word for rest, to be at ease. Now, let me explain that prophecy very well to us. In these days and this generation we are coming into, and we are already in, that systems are sinking. There are people whose destiny is to build structures that the body of Christ will enter inside into. And then they will be preserved from the heat and the onslaught of the economic meltdown and economic instability that is ravaging the world today. There's unemployment in the economic markets. But if we have Christian individuals that build up mega structures or companies that are hiring over 40,000 staff, we have about 10,000 of those within a region of the country, unemployment won't be a matter that is linked to the body of Christ. But you see, the children of God, for some time, our understanding to some extent has not really been that expansive to accommodate the fullness of what God has to offer and can give. So it's a prophecy. I'm explaining yesterday to us properly, because yesterday we gave the word. Today we are bringing commentary on it, because we taught on destiny and structure. The prophecy is that we are in the days of Noah also, and as Noah was called to build an ark for the preserving of a posterity, and the people entered inside, and when the flood came, instead of the flood sinking the rest of the world, the flood carried them to the mountaintops. There are people whose destiny is to raise up structures that the body of Christ will enter. There is a kingdom arrangement that we are in and that God has already ordained so that the welfare of his people can be handled in the earth. That kingdom arrangement is targeted at economic resuscitation, but the authority of God is first for his own. The word of God says that if a man does not provide for his people of his own household, he's worse than an infidel. God is not an infidel, so God is aware of his household. The scripture teaches us to do good to all men, especially those that are of the household of faith, meaning that you should give priority to the people that are of the same order, from the same body and the same fellowship. God also puts his people first before he considers the people of the world, because all creation are created of God, but not all creation are alike before God in terms of relationship. Yes, so there is a design. The kingdom anticipates and is aware of the economic downfall. When there was going to be crisis in Egypt, God signaled it to Pharaoh twice. And the famine was not an event of an economic happenstance. Joseph the prophet said to the king, this thing has been ordained by God. And he showed it to him twice, so that there was going to be an economic crunch, and the kingdom of God already anticipated it. God set up a government in the earth so that his own people will be preserved. Joseph said to his brethren, this thing you meant it for evil, but God had good in it to preserve his posterity. We are in that day, and there's going to be more of those economic backlashes. We need people, and those people are going to come already, and some of them are here, but those people are going to rise majorly in the earth. We need people who will be heavyweight figures that will raise up structures like Noah's Ark that can accommodate a posterity that when the flood of uncertainty flows, the body of Christ is being carried by the same flood to rise, because they are inside the structure that a prophet who saw the patterns of God built in the earth. So there's going to be the reenactment of the Ark of Noah, but not like the way you know the Ark, that rain was falling. No, it's another kind of act. Some of you, your businesses will be act. What is even more important is that your business, your company, your organization that you will build, which is already an undercover agent of God's kingdom in the earth, it's just the kingdom in the market. It's there rubbing shoulders with First Bank, because it's a financial institution. But it's not like the First Bank. Actually, it's an altar. But the idea is that the apostle whom God sets over it is inside the structure, and the structure shields him from all the heat of the world. And not just shields only him, but shields as many that God links to it. So that the staff you employ are not people that submit their CV, they are people that God calls to your organization. Your employment system becomes a calling, and you can discern those who should work and who should work elsewhere. This kingdom arrangement, we have not given the kingdom enough opportunity to speak for itself. Hence, you will understand that it has a government and it has a will of its own. It comes with an imposition. It comes to enforce its order. Jesus prayed, if you remember, that's why he prayed and said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as your kingdom is coming. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. That is, when the kingdom comes, there is something about the imposition, the superimposition, the enforcement of the will of God in the earth. He said, your kingdom comes and then the will be done. If we give the kingdom enough room to give expression, you will see that it even has its own wisdom to teach you a skill that the earth has not seen. So we are going to be having the reenactment of the Ark of Noah, and there are going to be many structures like that. They are the kingdom design and arrangement to cushion the effect of crises that we know as the systems of the world fail and as they are trying to usher in their own agenda. Noah's Ark will be reenacted, and there will be people who will bear the name Noah again, and spiritually, because they will give rest to the body of Christ in the earth. They will give rest to the sons of God in the earth. Because as the crisis is going down, as the people are going down, they are rising up. Because the laws that supports them is different from the laws that the people of the earth are operating with. So that is why it's called the assembly of structures. God said to Noah, he said, now make yourself an ark of gopher wood. This is how you shall make it. Make it of three deck. The length shall be this, the height shall be this cubit and that cubit. And he gave him the full measurement of the dimensions. And when Noah completed the ark, on the day the ark was, the flood was to begin, he said, now get into the ark. There are many people, the ark of God over your life will preserve you, preserve your posterity, preserve your generations to come. Look, because it is an agenda of God's kingdom. So that's why he said yesterday that there are people whose destiny is linked to structures. If the structures do not rise, your true meaning will not arrive, because your destiny already is hinged to it. When you meet Jesus Christ and you tell Jesus, and he says to you, do you want to know your destiny? He will point to you a structure in the earth. He will say, now let me say this. Every gift and every grace you experience from Jesus Christ is targeted for you to be successful and effective in that edification. The edification is existing for the accomplishment of the purpose of the kingdom in the earth. Like the Ark of Noah. So, kingdom principles and purposes are bound in Christ Jesus. Some of them are structurally based organizations. Some of them are systems that need to unveil. Let me tell you, there are still inventions we have to go and discover in Jesus Christ. There are still ordinations that we need to go and fetch into the kingdom and dig into the kingdom and pull them out of the deep recesses of God. But this is creating to you an opening and splitting apart a pathway in your mind, in your mentality, in your thought, to conceive a depth and a height that you have not considered before. Listen, there will be a reenactment of Noah's Ark again in the earth. For many of you sitting here before me, the destiny of a whole generation is tied to you. Will you give them rest? Will you give them rest? Yes, you should. Yes, you should. Yes, you should. Then what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? This word comes to me. There's a brother on this platform. I don't know if Ruben is here. Kumbala Shatemakos. Let me find out. Ruben is not here yet. Ruben has a vision that has been not delaying, as is yet to be enacted for some time, and it has to do with agriculture. He has all the templates. He has even done a little project and a little here, but he's not here. Would to God that God will breathe inside that structure. It will arise as a living being. Please get this. God is speaking to your heart. Some of us, we started something and we only see how it will profit us. You are wrong. If the kingdom is involved, it's not profiting you, it's profiting a generation. So that it becomes bigger than you to handle. Some of us, we see it's a lie. It's not you. We see how we can be comfortable and our family comfortable, our children, it's a lie. That's not the kingdom. The body of Christ being comfortable. Today, that personalized conception, I break you off it, and now I'm expanding your mentality to see a world wider than your immediate environment. It is possible. It is possible. If a man says, yes, Lord, here I am, he will be sent. So if tonight you accept Jesus Christ into your heart and you receive his call over you, it's just 2 years. 2 years, you'll be flying in colors. 2 years, you'll be flying in colors. 2 years, 2 years, 2 years, you'll be flying in colors. That thing already that you continue to do and you are doing, if Jesus Christ tells you, lay it down, like God said to the prophet Moses, he said, cast your rod on the ground. Mind you, the rod was the symbol of his occupation. He was a shepherd. He had held that rod for over 30 years and above because he spent 40 years in Midian. But God said to him, he said, lay the rod down. Immediately he cast it on the presence of God. The rod became a serpent. And he said, take it back up. And he took it back up and it became a rod in his hand. And God said to him, that is the rod that will make you a sign and a wonder in your generation. Now let me prophesy by interpretation and by wisdom to some. That rod in your hand that is a symbol of your profession is just as dead as any other rod. If you lay it before Jesus Christ at his command tonight, and he instructs you and you pick it up when he says to you, pick it up, it will be the instrument of being a sign and a wonder to your generation. Mind you, when he cast down that rod, he became a serpent. He had to flee from the rod. That is, the potential of the rod terrified him. Some of you, the potential of your business will scare you in Christ if you lay it down. If you lay it down, you'll be afraid of what it becomes. You'll be afraid of what it becomes. We just started small. Now we are multinational. I don't know how I got here, but I'm getting emails from companies abroad saying they want to partner with me. They are trying to come to Nigeria and they are seeing that they think they should partner with me in what I'm doing. I don't know how I got here. In less than 2 years, I'm now getting calls outside. It's possible. It's possible. If you lay it down, you will flee from it. When he asks you, take it up. You will own it, but you will become a sign and a wonder. With that rod, he caused signs and wonders in Egypt, so much so the Egyptians and the servants of Pharaoh were scared of him. When he got to the Red Sea, he splitted it. He brought water out of the rock just with the symbol of his profession. Let me tell you, you don't have to be behind a pulpit. If you are putting a stethoscope on your neck as a medical doctor, as a nurse, you can still be a sign and a wonder if you take it up at God's command. So these are different expressions of prophetic wisdom, and I'm interpreting to you the things that have started to be and will be hereafter. Let me talk about this tonight. In 2019, I believe, I began to talk about the capacity to author books. And after a while, one lady met me month later and began to say, I've just started writing, and it's just flowing. And I say, yes, I gave a prophetic word that there were gifts of authorship. People are going, say, yes, I was in that meeting. I say, well, I won't be surprised. Now let me say this. Oh my God. Lako Shaka Tolabukada. I see the outpour of that grace, that scribal anointing to write. Lord, let it be upon the heads of Mali Brahaku Sebretegezia, Lebranta Zute Pranda Skeponodia, Mel Frata Kasuke Leprata Utishikabaka. Oh, it will take us time to explore that prophetic word. But let me see. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. I'm seeing a gentleman by name Godline, and I want to pray with you. Now, Peter, maybe you find out if he's online by maybe private messaging. But I want to pray with you. Okay, his name has changed to God with his. He's no longer a lion. All right. Yes, online. Glory to God. I decree upon you today this gift that I speak about the scribes anointing. Let it become effective in your life from today. The writer's ink horn, I decree it to become effective in your life from today in the name of Jesus. I don't know if you do anything with writing, with the writing of music, books, or whatever, but that scribal anointing, I decree it active today, as if a green light beeps to show that a facility is online and an elevator is active. I decree that gift active in your life from today. You will all write under inspiration, heaven's inspiration, out of grace upon you. Heavens will open over you. It will flow through your hand as inscriptions in your ink, and your anointing will be expressed also through the words, the written words that comes from the gift of God's grace, working in you, working over you, in the name of Jesus. I decree that gift right now. It's active now. Go and express it in the name of Jesus. Lord, but Peter just found out from him behind the scenes if he has anything in that direction, and we give praise to God. I welcome everyone tonight to this meeting. Now, let's set off like this by speaking. You know, the things that we are talking about are already possibilities that exist. But for some reasons, they are sort of by mentality that does not agree with its perception. You know, the mind of man is so strong that it can decide and choose for him what he will see and the things that will elude his vision. In the book of Numbers chapter 13 and 14, Satan was not present, but the people could enter their destiny. Let me say that again. Satan was not present in Numbers 13 and 14. It was the people of God and their prophet that were, and God that was present. But their mentality rejected them or prevented them from entering their inheritance. So they couldn't perceive possibilities for some reason, because of an engineering, that a system of operation that was going on inside of their mentality. So let me now say this to you, that Satan is too small where a limited mind is active. God, let me say it again. Satan is too small where a limited mentality is active. He doesn't have to bother you. You won't enter your destiny. These people were face to face. In short, God came down from heaven. Some of you, if you just see a small sign, you will say it's God. These people, God came down. They were seeing God with their physical eyes. They didn't have to close eye and have spiritual vision. But yet, they couldn't enter destiny. What would the devil do again? He doesn't. The people were enough of the devil to themselves. They didn't need any external devil. Satan will not be necessary where a limited mind is in place. Say that again. The devil will not be necessary if a limited mind is in place. So when we have a corporate limitation on the mind, there are depths of heaven that we will not accept because for some reasons our mentality rejects it. For example, there are certain quarters that don't see some manifestations of God because their mentality in Christ rejects that these operations are possible. I mean, it is not news to you anymore that some persons don't believe in the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, prophecy and word of. They don't even believe that there's healing. They see healings and signs are faded with the apostles. So they don't give room for miracles. They worship God, but to them, their God is just, he obeys the natural laws. So we have a corporate conditioning that prevents people from seeing certain things. The gift of God's activity and what the Holy Spirit will do for you is that He will take you to a place where your mentality will be brought down, and He will install new glory in it, so that if the devil is not in place, there will be nothing to hinder you. God will take care of the devil, but you have to take care of your own mind. You know that? As he thinks in his heart, he will be like that. God will take care of the devil for you, but you have to be cooperative in the renewing of your mind. Paul assigned that responsibility to us in Romans 12. He said, you will be transformed by the renewal of your mind. He said, be thou transformed. So there is a responsibility that is yours in that kind of transformation. God will take care of the devil, but sir, take care of your mentality. Some person's mentality locked them in a caste system. Let's trace a little bit of that mentality. Please, tonight is an uncoupling and recoupling. This is only setting a framework so that when I say what we want to say, there won't be resistance in your mind against it. So this is pre-experience of the world, but it's very important because it sets the soil good for the seed to germinate. Let's do something. Let me show you the evolution of a mentality. Between the Middle Ages, now this is historical times now, a system evolved. Because you obviously, let's not do so much because of our time. When the church was in persecution, the Roman Empire was against the church, killing Christians, sentencing them to death, putting them in the Colosseum, burning them at the stake. It was a terrible time to be a Christian. Anybody who took on the name of Christian, it was as if you had accepted the death sentence. But there were people who served God. And so it continued like that until at the time an emperor called Constantine, you know that story, somehow got converted by an unusual encounter and then made Christianity legal and even made it a state religion. Now let's not follow that time, but after that kind of evolution, certain things began to creep into the body of Christ and into the church, and that encroachment created a class. I know you have heard about the concept of clergy and laity, and please, I'm not like, I'm just teaching you truth, just teaching you and making comments. The concept of clergy and laity divided the order of Christ Jesus and decreed that there were a class of people that were the priests and could read the word of God and could minister in the priesthood. But there were other class of people that couldn't and didn't have that privilege. So they became more like an ecclesiastical class that the other people were subjected into. If you read history, you know what I'm talking about. And that's when it got so bad that the Bible was taken from the... It was a crime for the church to read the Bible. You can get killed for that. You can't even preach if you didn't go to the school of priesthood. It's a sin. You'll be killed for that. And so the Bible didn't even exist in English. They didn't publish the Bible in the language of the people. The Bible was now written in Latin, which was a language that only the priest understood, because it was the official language of the priesthood and they had to learn it. So there are some folks in those times that couldn't read the scriptures, and you can't be caught reading the scriptures. They only believed what the religious authority told them. When that class evolved, it separated it. That's why we get the clergy and deity arrangement. That there's another of people that have the authority to read scriptures, and the other people don't get it. And you can't preach, you can't teach, you can't even, reading it is an offense. That is the principle of that day, is that they are not equipped to understand the word of God for themselves. So there's no need for them. We will teach you the word of God. Now, the struggle of the Reformation was to avert that, because certain men like Wycliffe, Jan Hus, and many of the other reformers realized by scripture that every child of God could have access to the word of God. So most of them attempted to translate the Bible to English, and many of them were killed. Most of them translated the Bible to their natural language, like Hausa and all that. They got killed for it. But eventually the struggle of the reformers came to pass, which is why we have the Bible in English today and everybody has access to it. That understanding that a group is a lie now, then we now, it's just, so we entered a phase in the history of the church where God was doing a restoration of truth. So every truth that the apostles had established was absorbed into a kind of darkness that God had to restore one by another, one after the other, to give light to the generality of the body. But now we don't have that kind of arrangement. But vestiges, when I say vestiges, some traces of it still remains. And even though it is not recognizable that people can say this is it still leaves trace. It's like using that cup somebody used to brush their mouth and then putting water to drink and still testing toothpaste. It's clean, but you can't, it's just the taste of toothpaste still abounds in it. So there's still that trace of it. And if you are, you can tell that somebody used, washed, did the amount, and this was the cup they used. How did you know? I can test a little bit of toothpaste in a minute. And that is in this understanding. If I say somebody is a servant of God, most persons will say I'm talking about a pastor. It's by default. You have to remind them that that's not what you mean before they will agree. That kind of understanding itself is not correct. It's still traces of the division that is existing inside your mentality, your thoughts, and you are not aware. And the scripture does not teach that. He is a minister. You see his church service. But I said to us yesterday, being a minister has nothing to do with church service. It has to do with service, and it's a secular word, particularly for government. Because it comes from diaconia, which means to serve. A minister is someone who serves. But you see that the scripture is not, does not put a limit on the text to say that there's a class that should be. No. It was like that in the Old Testament. But when Jesus came, he made everybody a priest. Which is why you quote the scripture and say, we are a royal priesthood. You don't know what you are saying. That when you confess that scripture, you admit that now you are a minister. And if you are a minister, the meaning of the minister is serve. So it means you are a servant of God. But God has not called you to pastor a church. You are a medical doctor, yes. But when you look on Christ, you are made a royal priesthood. You also are a servant of God. You have to remind folks again that Abraham was a businessman. He was called a servant. Job was a businessman. He said, do you remember, have you considered my servant Job? Daniel worked in public space. He wasn't serving in the temple. He was working in government. As a matter of fact, he was working in government in Babylon. If he was working in government in Jerusalem, you would have said, okay, he's close to the altar. But he was serving in government in an idol-based civilization, but yet he still recorded as a prophet. Jesus called, said, when you read about the abomination of desolation that the prophet Daniel spoke about, but Daniel did work in the company of the sons of the prophets, as some of the sons Elisha and Elijah did. But his prophetic gift continued in public space, and he was a servant of God. Now listen, Paul said, if any man will reckon us, let him say we are all servants of God and stewards of the mysteries of Christ. So, that little vestige of that separation, today I'm clearing last of it and I'm uniting all the realms to you, that the priesthood and the royalty, they have been made one. The king is the priest. You thought of priesthood is after Melchizedek. He said he was king, he was priest of Musa. So listen, either businessman, farmer, musician, seamstress, whatever you are a servant of Christ. And by that, you are a minister of God. And what did he say? The ministers are a flame of fire. It's you they are talking about. Father, we give you praise. Hallelujah. Are we there with us tonight?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
In his most precious name we have prayed.
Amen.
All right. Today I will teach us on what we have captioned systems of glory. We are in an assembly building systems of glory. Yesterday we talked about destiny and structure. Today we look at the glory. But there's something important that the Lord had asked us to share with you. So before we look at systems of glory, I want to bring the point to us. And so important, because until this in place, nothing else will make sense. I want to teach us revelation of Christ. If this takes the balance of the time, then the world will spill over. But it is critical, the revelation of Christ. So let's pass through that gate. If you are taking notes, action this one, the revelation of Christ. We can't enter systems yet until this is released. Remember yesterday we said that the word that we began to receive, that it formed on the foundation of a generation, says that the Christ will be revealed to them. In him they will see their purpose. I will say yesterday that all of the purposes of God in the earth are all packaged into Jesus Christ. And for God to fulfill it through the sons, it has Christ in them is the medium, and Christ accomplishing it through them. But we do not all have the same depth of Christ's revelation in our spirit. Paul said to the church, 1 Corinthians 15, he said, some of you do not have the knowledge of God. He said this to your shame. It wasn't the unbelievers. There were people in the church that Paul said, you don't know God. No, of course, those guys hear the doctrines of the apostles every day they gather. And they read the scriptures. But Paul still said, you don't have the knowledge. The word he used for knowledge in Greek is the experience. Because God is not a concept. You read mathematics. You read macroeconomics, microeconomics, factors and scale of production and all that. You interface with it and agree that you know them. Those are concepts. But God is a personality. You experience them. You don't know me because you read of me. You know of me. You know me by interaction, by experience. You hear my voice. I talk to you, you talk back. We have a talk. We relate. We have a relationship. We know each other. Paul wrote to the church, some of you have not the knowledge of God. Say this to your shame. So I won't be surprised if there are still some here who that word qualifies for, that word speaks of them. You are not, it's not. Scripture has already decreed it, but you are not supposed to remain like that. So he said, teach them the revelation of Christ. So I will start teaching you on this first tonight. Glory to God. Jesus Christ is the mystery of the ages forever till Christ comes. I told you yesterday that the end of this age is hinged on the unsealing of the scrolls of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 6 shows you that the Lamb will unseal seven seals. As he is unsealing the seven seals, different things occur in the earth. The seven seals will usher in the annunciation of the seven trumpets of the angels. The cloak of the age is the fruit of the Lamb of God. The accomplishment of God's purpose as it pertains to is desire, the revelation of Christ himself. Did you see that the redemptive plan of God for man, which he initiated from Genesis, when he prophesied that the seed of the woman would be at enmity with the serpent, and tension and an enmity between the seed and the serpent, he accomplished it at the revelation of Jesus when he was manifested. The glory of the age is Christ. The destiny of a generation, the purpose of a whole group of people is Christ. If they do not know the Christ, they will accomplish nothing. But it's still something else. Like we succinctly summarized it in the magazine, we said that the extent destiny in Christ is real to you is to the extent to which Christ. So if you have not the revelation of Christ, whatever we see of Christ will not be, because you don't have depth to hold it. Christ first, every other. So before anything first, you must learn Christ, which is why we teach you the revelation. Let's begin. Christ is not a concept. There is a reason in creation that bears the name Christ Jesus. In the name of, it's not the end of your prayer, it's a person. Oh, gee. That name you are calling, there's an individual that has the name. You see, you see your dad, you see your mom, you see your brethren. There's somebody who actually is the Christ. If he is here, he is there. There is really that is called, he is real person. You read about the scriptures, about him in history. You have heard a lot of people talk about him. But he's not a concept, he's actually a person. But here is a stopper. How do I know him when I can't see him? How do I know him when I can't see him? Now that puts us at a place. Very well then, we are all saved and we received him into our heart. But you can be saved and still have little knowledge of God, because with the heart man will believe, with the mouth he will confess unto salvation. You are saved. But beyond your salvation, there is the development of interaction to grow in the knowledge of the one who has redeemed you. Peter said to the church, now grow in faith and the knowledge of our, the experience. Now, let me say this. Christ can only be experienced. It will be information about, but you won't. Transformation is a product of it. Transformation comes through interaction, especially when we are dealing with individuals. My God. So, not from the knowledge of God is speaking by himself. He is spirit. Now to the king, God is not hiding. State is invisible. The nature of God is invisible. But wait, what? Ability not being seen or a separation. I thought the round tables that physical and spiritual not direct opposites. That's why you can chemical in your chemistry. The word spiritual, they come or natural. That's why you see the distinction in scriptures where it says the spirit man. It's not saying physical. Not saying physical. That is what you touch and interact. The God is physical. Angels in heaven, that the spirit realm is physical. The spirit realm is their physical realm. It depends on where you are coming from. That again. You can claim that this world is your physical world. Angels that will say to you, no, this physical world. Because we can touch here, we see here, we live here. It's all is physical. That dismisses that. God himself is invisible, hiding himself, he's living in a realm. Taught us some weeks ago, this round table, that are divided, the structure are divided by realm. Such are separated. You can't take up your bag and say you want to journey to God and start walking in any direction on earth with God. The people who thought that heaven is have disproved it. That when you go on in that, you can't see the go when they die. The dead also liberty to see the when they go. The spirit oppressing people has them to over. That is why they say, have you come to torment us before the time? They are not here to teach. So the race of creation are divided. And that you can't enter spots, you can't cross dimensions, you are not authorized to do it. So John was in the spirit, but then in heaven. That was a door he would never see. Now that was into another realm. The first time he saw the throne of God. I'm teaching you design now. First time in his life he will see the throne of God. Because he was standing in a plane. He was already in the spirit from chapter 1. Chapter 4, they opened another room. That's where God stays. Now, John, Lord, but the one was in another plane, high. So they had to tell him in heaven, still, that showed alliance of reality sustained with him. Now, John in the spirit, still experiencing the invisible, though there was a visible manifestation of the Son of Man before him, but it up by the invitation from the Holy One, he went there and saw the throne of God, saw the mysteries of heaven pertaining to the earth. What am I teaching? To the King, immortal. So we are visible God. Hi. So there has to be mechanisms in place that will cooperation, and since you are in one reality and he is in reality, wait, we are coming to you. Say the physical world, well, that's by the way, you see your desk and your mind, you say it's physical. God says the realm will as physical. I see. Now, what Jesus, God is spirit. Wow. Now, who we must do it in spirit? What does that mean? It is still another design and arrangement to have genuine fellowship with Christ, with God. It's invisible. All of that interaction will occur in your spirit. Spirit, God has ordained that the spiritual world will be physical to you. Some will not agree, but it depends on where you are coming from. Because as for Jesus Christ on earth, he said, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. He decreed that he was in heaven, remained on earth. No, it's a function of where your consciousness is. Paul even instructed us. He says, set your affection where affection is rooted in your emotion. Your emotion is a part of your soul. Your emotion will draw your soul. Your soul carries your consciousness. Where your soul is focused, you'll be conscious. That's why you can be in class and yet you are at home thinking about the movie you will slot into your DVD. And after a while, you say, hey, what did I just say? You were there, you didn't hear it. So why? You have left the class. You have projected. Or say that projection you are doing, do it to Christ Jesus. wait, we are still proceeding. So, the son of Jesus Christ, what is the first step? There must be an occurrence that occurs in your spirit that opens the door. Occurrence is the light of Christ. Now listen, without light from Christ, let's take up a scripture. 2 Peter chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 19. Now we leave it, please. Oh my God. Manka scooter. Let's see. Manka scooter. Glory to God. Now let's read from 2 Peter 2, chapter 1, verse 19. This is what the apostle said, but 2 Peter 1, verse 19. Le protocols could be by Abraham, Father will give you praise. All right, he said, so we have confirmed which you do heed as a light shines in a dark place till the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. That's the apostle Peter. Peter describing of Christ as gradual appearance of light, clarity. You are in a, now listen, who teaches us that we are all caught up with Christ, seated in heavenly places. You are seated. Our conversation is in heavenly places, and we are where Christ is, seated at the right hand. Now, if you turn off the entire light in your room, no matter how much you expect, you will not see, because the eye is the causative instrument vision. It has partner with another variable, which light conducts vision. Wire conducts electricity. Light conducts vision. Your eyes are only receptacle, only receptors. They receive vision and give you, receive light and give you the vision that the light carries. Listen. Peter said that the word is like a light that is shining in a dark place. We are paying attention to it as it's shining gradually until the day dawns and the day star. It is Jesus in that day star. He rises in your heart. That your heart is referring to the essence of your person. You can also refer to as your spirit. There is supposed to be shining in your heart that will bring to you the revelation of Christ. Like I said, it is light that conducts vision. Let me teach you a little physics. Turn on the light in your room, you see all the furniture. Turn it off, you see nothing. Carry a yellow shirt and then flash on it a blue light. The color change under the light. And which is the technique they use in movie production to change things? Condom is a light or a strobe light, a light that has a strobe effect. It will change it. There's what is called that is used in currency detection. Bring your naira note under an infrared light. It is written on the seal when you put it under sun. That light is bringing order that exists in that currency that you can't see because the light you are using does not support it. Peter said, there is that arrangement that the day star is supposed to shine in your heart. And then Paul submitted it finally in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Are you seeing their starting point? That both instances start from darkness. Peter said, we will do well to take heed as a light that shines in a dark place. Paul said, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He said, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the revelation of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The place where the light shines is in your heart. Paul said, there it shines and gives us the knowledge of God's glory. But when that knowledge comes, what we see is Jesus' face. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. What does that say? Lekus katale katakasketo lebrotokos katale brigadios. Father, we give you praise. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6, you can take down that reference. I'm saying lebus katrala bons keprahagas kerubasha makala braga. I'm seeing a mic active. Let's find out. When the light shines in your heart, what you see is Christ's face. That's what Peter is teaching. The same thing Paul is teaching in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6. That brings you to the gradual unveiling of Christ. It will happen. D. Please, can we consciously turn on our mics? Turn off our mics if we are part of the stream. I can hear an interference. That way, Christ becomes real to you. Listen. So what is it? It is exposure to light from God. Information from Jesus Christ that transmits as light. That will give you the revelation of his face in your heart. Bringing you to gradual awareness of the consciousness of Christ. You may not see him walk out of your world dazzling with light, but nevertheless, you'll be so conscious of his person and his presence, he will be with you. Why is this important? The extent to which your destiny in Christ will be real to you is determined by the extent to which Christ himself is real to you. If Christ is real to you 10%, your destiny will be real to you less than that. Maybe real to you less than that. So if we are talking about an arrangement of the kingdom that is totally and perfectly accomplished inside of Christ Jesus, then the revelation of Jesus Christ must be sure in their hearts. They must know Christ and see his light. Because all of their destinies are packaged into his revelation. So, you must know the Lord. My God. My God. You must know the Lord. Angus, systems of glory will rise. These systems of glory are installations and revelations of Christ's decisions in the earth. But they will be seen inside of Christ's light. If they don't know how to position to see the light of Christ, they will never attain to it. And light is an experience. You can't explain light to somebody who has never seen it. You can't say it dazzles the face. He will say, what do you mean? You can't say it comes with brilliance. He will say, what is that? You tell him, all right, come, turn on the light, let him see. And he says, wow, this is glorious. Listen, we are to bring a whole generation into this light of Christ. Hence, they will live limited, below standard of God. below the standard of God for their lives because they didn't see Christ well, so they didn't see themselves well too. Listen, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But who is this Christ who is now in you that is giving you access to glory? That's one question to ask. All of this is accomplished through the revelation of Christ. We were sent with this revelation from God to reveal Jesus Christ to a generation. So you have come to hear things that pertains to you. You can't miss out that the light of Christ will shine in your heart. Right now, according to the word of God, that it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness that has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light of God comes to your heart. The face of Jesus Christ is what you see. Right now, by God, I want you to get into the word of God tonight as we speak, because that light must shine in your spirit. I cannot come to tell you, you will do this, you will do that. I can reveal, speak by prophecy, give wisdom and direction. But God himself has to fashion and knit into your soul the wisdom of the age to come, so that you can bring forth out of God's spirit in you realities and dimensions that man has not known. That as a servant of God in whatever sphere you are called, the glory of God will be demonstrated through you. But how? By Christ, who is the glory of God. Says the express image of his person, the brightness of his glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You must know Jesus Christ. It's a core course. It's not an elective. You fail it, you repeat the year again. You fail it, you repeat. You can't escape it. You must clear the course. You must come into revelation of Christ, which is this, that God can't be known by information, because he is not a concept. God must be known through interaction that comes by the unveiling of himself. Moses said, now, how may I know you? Show me now yourself that I'm in you. He said, reveal to me your glory. Why? He said, reveal it. I want to know you. Let me know that I have found grace. But now, show me your ways. Show me you. I want to see you. God must be revealed to be known. He can't be informed. He can't be taught by information to be apprehended. God must be revealed to be known. God is spirit. God is the invincible one. God is spirit. Must be revealed to be known. Through Christ's light, his face shines in your heart. The extent to which your destiny in God is real to you is determined by how much Christ is real to you. Because if I promise you that certain John Smith Jackson has left for you an inheritance of $1 million, you will first ask, who is John Smith Jackson? I don't know him. I say, well, he's somebody. I don't know him, so why will I believe that kind of thing? So if you don't know the individual, you will not believe that. Why, for what? Who is he? If you call a name I don't know, I will say, who is this person? So if I say to you, Christ prepared for you glory, even you don't ask it, your informed consciousness will still question you inaudibly and without words. Who is Christ? God is not working by assumption. You follow God. And the good thing is, anyone born of God can know Jesus Christ. He is your Lord. If a generation will enter destiny, they will have to see the light of Christ. Kurosh kalabrahandes kekunatia lefekesuka pakata. So let me say to you, have you known much of Christ that you can really stake your life on him? Now listen, some persons can't take risk for God because even the Christ himself is not sure in their hearts. If they say, abandon this assignment and serve the Lord, You don't believe that it's a law so much so to stake your whole existence on it. You made the decision, but when pressure came, you returned because you didn't believe. You said, okay, I will not do this. This is not what I feel God wants me to do. But after a while, the pressure, why would you make that decision? See, a job has come. You go, and this is not your mate. Why would you suffer yourself? God has not decided, and then you left the will of God and bowed to pressure. It was not really your heart. The realness of God in your heart was not equivalent to surmount and to subjugate and to suppress the pressure around. If I say, wait for me, and I called you. Even if somebody came and said, there's no person like Angus, that's not what he said. You say, no, you are the one who doesn't know what he said. I just spoke with him. He said, I should wait. Your destiny in God will only be real to you as Christ is real to you. And nobody pursues fantasies unless they have lost their mind. If your destiny in Christ is a fantasy to you, you have no drive to pursue. Because for obvious reasons, you don't believe it. Well, tonight, I see a fresh reignition of revelation in the spirits of people. As I'm speaking now, Father, we give you praise. Listen, a fresh reignition of passion and love for Jesus Christ. We went to a program. Some persons were here in that meeting. It happened twice within the space of the same program, one day and the following day. I think with one other individual. People were saying they were under the power of God, and they were struggling to come to Jesus right in the meeting. And the power of God was just everywhere, somewhere in that place weeping, somewhere under the power, this direction, this way. And some other folks were struggling, see Jesus, I want to touch him, see him there. And the ushers were trying to restrain them because they didn't know what else to do, and they were all. And I just sensed what they were experiencing. I said, let them come, leave them. And they ran to where we were standing, and then laid on the feet. Laid down, and they just laid down. I knew they were not seeing me. No, it can't be me. There was an expression of Christ that their spirit man had made contact with. And the passion was driving them to that direction. When I asked some of them what happened, they were saying, I was just being pulled. I knew he was standing there. Now, what is that? That is revelation, the revelation of Christ. And scripture teaches us that, according to the doctrine of Paul in the book of Galatians, that when he pleased God to reveal his son in me, there is revelation to you. There is revelation in you. There is also revelation through you. There are three levels. Tonight, the revelation in you is starting from tonight. Many people, as I'm speaking here now, passion for Christ Jesus will be reignited. You can't love who does not. It's a sign of his sign. You can't say, oh my God, I'm so in love with, and then you call a name of a fairy tale creature, or maybe some character in a novel. It doesn't exist. You are caught up in a fantasy that you have to be delivered from. But when your soul ignites on that fire, you will be born for Jesus Christ. It will start coming into consciousness, because passion for Christ will be awakened inside of you. And then his reality will dawn in your spirit. Now listen. As it's happened now, Lord, kindle, Lord, your hearts with fire. Let the light. I want you, wherever you are now, to just be praying in the spirit. Lerosha barata kuse preten porodoske pradaha. Let it be. kindle a fire in my spirit, kindle fire in my spirit. Pray. The ignition of that passion will leave you with revelation. The ignition of that passion will leave you with encounter. The ignition of that passion will leave you with transformation. Your destiny is to know the Lord. Your destiny is to know the Lord. Your destiny is to know Christ Jesus. Your destiny is to know the Lord. My God, my God, my God, my God. Pray. Lekos, Maparikas, Zigle Prandaka, a new garment of fire. Fire. A new garment of fire. Leporos Shakalabra, Lebrek. Yakanda Rabakasuzi Yakatere, Lebratas Kemprotologodia, Mafri Karush Kaba de Korea, Lepunze Bratia Kusia Pradaha, a new garment of fire, a new veil of fire, a new robing of fire, the reality of the flame of Christ Jesus. He said, the flame of love are most vehement flame, like the flame of Yah, like the flame of the Almighty. Lord, let there be kindled in them so much passion that they can't deny that you are real. Karush, Zekepor, Lepretisco, Rapandabosh, Mimbrotoskoba, Lifreteskepada, Leprotokosupadadia. Lord, let the flame of fire blow around your environment. Blow around your environment. Let it blow around your environment. Let them be caught up in the reality of your expression. Let them be caught up in the reality of your manifestation. Let them be caught up in the reality of your person. Moses, a cool backpar, listen, I saw inventions in Jesus Christ very clear. We are yet to unseal that prophecy to individuals. But I saw a man in a state I was a couple of years ago. And I called him and unveiled the word to him. I said, you will do this. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm sharing it to you. I didn't really give him so much backdrop that is coming from the expression of Christ. But the prophecy clearly decreed that it is coming from Jesus Christ. So it left. I left it on the scripture if he ever goes back to look at it. And then some time ago, he called me and said, well, I was just thinking about some things. And then that conversation we had came back. And then I showed him through Christ. He studied mechanical engineering. Yes, it's a first class. Okay. I think first class or something. I think, yeah, first class. Yes. And he was a leader of a religious body in that state. And I shared with him out of the way. I said, this is the word to you. I'm making this prophecy known to you so that you can dig into it. There is arrangement for the path you are pursuing. It can be a calling. Some are called pastors and prophets, but that's not all of it. Some are called to be wisdom in the end. Some are called to be the expressions of manifold graces. Some are called governments in the end, authorities in the end. There are other kinds of expression. I've not unsealed that prophecy to anyone again after I shared it with him, because we are going to leave that place and we may not have contact with him, but somehow the leading of God came, share it with him. And we shared it after a fellowship gathering that we had. When they say, I want to show you something. And then he confirmed some things and then we spoke at length and discussed it and we left. I trust that on a certain day again, the Spirit of God will breathe in that direction and that we make it known to everyone. But even if I don't say it, if you follow the God who gives the word, you will find it, because it is the same Spirit that gives revelation. God. Jesus is Lord. So know the Lord. You will find mysteries. We are picking up mysteries unbelievable. In short, as a matter of fact, it's time that is not available to develop all of them equally. So we are giving priority to what should be given priority, and then some other things we are rationing the allocation of time so that some things don't suffer. You can build here, build here, build here. But you are called in one direction. There is wisdom for it. Time will fail me to talk about many who have gone in this direction. We have 7 minutes to go because we started 7:30, and this has taken the bulk of the world. But we have not even touched about the systems of the world. You can be anything in your generation. Christ has called you too. You are called of God. Your altar is where you sit on your desk to work. It's where you sit on your desk to write. Your altar is there. Christ has called you too. There is the calling of Christ on your life. You are a vessel of honor, a minister of the sanctuary, a servant of Christ Jesus, for as long as you are in this priesthood of the believers. Do not be deceived. Christ has called you too. Ananias said to Paul when he went to lay hands on him, he said, Christ has called you and has chosen you that you should see his light and be a source of light. Christ has called you too. You are to reveal one dimension of his glory. Reveal his glory. Christ will not come and sit in the US and say, I am Christ. This is me. He will express himself through you, and you will give him glory in their midst, and they will acknowledge that God is among us through this. You can be a sign and a wonder. A sign is an event that speaks, not in words. Your life can be the sign that there is God on it. Your life can be the sign from heaven to men that really there is a God that created the universe. If you live any life short of being a sign, you lived for small. If your life is not being a sign from now, let me put it to you. You are living less than what you can be, what you were designed to be. Wake up. Let my life not be a mediocre, nonsensical living. I am a sign to my generation. Everybody can be a sign. We all have equal possibilities in Christ. We are redeemed by the same blood. Every man has access to inheritance in Christ. Do not be taken away by the traditional understanding of clergy and laity. This realm is to apostles. All can manifest the gift. Stephen was a deacon. He wrought so much signs that the people envied him. If you are not being a sign and a wonder to your days and your time already, there's an arrangement in Christ for you. Be caught up inside that sphere now. It's possible. Any man can be a sign. It's not written on your forehead. The destiny and the story of any man that was a sign was that they started like you, but they ended supernatural. You also can rise to the top. If all that is to be in place is in place, the installations can be complete. They didn't invoke anything on anybody. We all bought into the same possibilities. One destiny in Christ Jesus. We see realities, we are assigned assignments. Every man is a son of God. They say, damn, there is no male or female, bond or free. We are all one in Christ. It means that even as a woman, because you are not limited. That feminist doctrine you are hearing is erroneous. Jesus Christ has cleared it for you that there is neither male or female. You are a son alike. All possibilities are possible in your life. You don't need a feminist to teach you nonsense out of their moral inclinations that they don't have God as the underlying factor. Jesus has made it clear through Apostle Paul that there is neither male nor female. Your possibility is one. It all depends on how a man wants to follow Christ. What will you do with your days? What will you do with your life? Will you live nonsensically? Either way, you will face in heaven, impressive or depressing. But will you overwhelm him? Overwhelm him. Either creator. If you fail in this life, you will still fail in a reward system. People think going into heaven is just a glory to heaven. But Paul says some people's work will be destroyed. Some will, their life will be preserved. They will walk. How would you feel when there are rewards and you have nothing to be loved? That you lived as a non-entity on earth, you got into eternity, no impact. What is that? Live like that. You still have time. It's never too late to get into the right. You'll be a sign and a wonder to your generation. Jesus has ordained it to be so. The right step and statements is what you hear. Into the light of Christ. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Time is spent. We have 1 minute. Left. We are still. Either we extend one deal or we give the balance of this world in the next round table. Because where we have taught you, show you so much that is necessary to get what is to be done starting. But one word still remains. Let's go ahead and give God praise. Thank you for what we have heard tonight.